Today's scriptures readings come from Genesis and Deuteronomy. First, a reading from Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." God created humanity in God's own image, and the divine image God created them, male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." Then God said, "I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds, and all the trees whose fruit produces its seed within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food." And that's what happened. God saw everything he had made. It was supremely good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. And now a reading from Deuteronomy. "Israel, listen. Our God is the Lord, only the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength. These words that I am commanding you today must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting around your house and when you are out and about, when you are lying down and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. They should be on your forehead as a symbol. Write them on your house's door frames and on your city gates. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
Thank you, Kay, and thank you, choir. What a blessing it is to have your presence leading worship again. Welcome back. As we've heard, this past week marked the first day of school for many of our students, ranging from preschoolers all the way up to the college students and seminary students, too. Well, I was reflecting about when one of my daughters was starting preschool. I have three kids. I don't remember which one had this experience. Other parents out there will relate, but I know that it happened, so they're going to ask me, which one of us was it? Well, this one, she was brimming with excitement to start preschool. She was especially excited about learning to read. She already knew her letters, loved stories, and couldn't wait to unlock the joy of reading books on her own. But when she came home that first afternoon, her face was heavy with disappointment. And I asked, "How was your first day of school?" She sighed and said, "Terrible." My heart sank. "Why?" I pressed. And with all the exasperation that a four-year-old can muster, she said, "I was there all day and I still can't read." All we did was learn the rules and meet other kids. That moment came back to me this week when my kids came home after their first day. I asked the same familiar question, and sure enough, I got a familiar answer. "We just spent the whole day talking about the rules and getting to know each other." Any other students can relate to that's how their first week was? Yeah. Yep. Now, of course, what the kids might know, but the teachers know all too well, is that they were offering something vital. Before anything else, we must be reminded of how to live and learn together. Every year starts with the groundwork of community. And that's true not just in school, but in life and faith. We all want to leap ahead, fast forward to wisdom and growth, but it always begins with the basics. The foundations that shape how we treat one another and how we move through the world. Maybe our teachers are offering a lesson that the rest of us need to. Because, friends, here we are, living in a world that seems to have forgotten some pretty basic things about how to be human together. As I mentioned this fall, our new worship series, Back to Basics, is going to help us remember those first few days of school, what it means to live together as people created in the image of God. Not because we're trying to go backward, but because in this moment of history, when everything feels fragmented and fast and sometimes, frankly, terrifying, we need to remember who we are. We need to remember whose we are. And we need to remember what God had in mind when God dreamed us into being. Bill Gates was once asked, "What does it mean to be human?" A question, of course, that many of us have wrestled with. And he replied, "There are as many answers as there are people." Our culture often says that being human means creating or defining ourselves. You decide. It sounds freeing, but the weight can be heavy. Looking only inward, we often end up more lonely, anxious, and ungrounded. Christian tradition offers another starting point. Being human is not a private project or mere self-expression. We are physical, rational, emotional, social, and communal beings. But our true identity comes from looking outward, taking shape through relationship in the image of God. So this week we start where it all begins, Genesis, chapter 1, on the sixth day, where we read, God created humankind in God's own image. The image of God is not a prize for the worthy, it is a gift freely given to be cherished and honored. Each life bears the indelible mark of God's great creativity, dignity, and love. In Jewish and Christian tradition, this means we do not define ourselves by what we do, what we own, what others say, but our foundation is God's blessing. Our identity is never just personal. From the beginning, Genesis declares, "Let us make humankind in our own image." We are made for God, for one another, for creation itself. For Scripture tells us it is not good for humans to be alone. This is the foundation of our faith in humanity. Every person carries the image of God with the capacity for wonder and creativity, justice and love. And this truth is radically inclusive. When God was done creating, God looked upon humankind and said, "It is very good." In our translation today, it was supremely good. The image of God is not reserved for a few, but placed in every person. Across every race, gender, age, ability, status, and orientation, our calling is to see the sacred worth and to weave our lives together in justice and love. But here's what happens when we forget this basic foundation, when we lose sight of Genesis 1. We start to believe other stories about what makes us human. And in our times, there are a lot of competing stories. We live in a world that tells us our worth comes from productivity, our bank account, and our social media likes. We're surrounded by technology that can do incredible things, but can't teach us how to love. We watch as some extreme voices hijack the word Christian and use it to justify exclusion, nationalism, even hatred, the very opposite of God's expansive love. And we're constantly sent mixed signals about the value of life. We grieve the tragedy that occurred last week at Annunciation School and Church and we cry out for gun reform to honor the sacredness of life. While at the same time, our leaders seem bent on more war as a show of power. How do we live with this dichotomy? And underlying it all, we know that that we're living through a crisis of connection. Rates of anxiety and depression, especially among young people, are through the roof. People are lonelier than ever, even though we're more connected than ever before. We've forgotten how to see the image of God in ourselves and in each other. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once wisely said, "Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality." That's exactly what Genesis has been telling us since the beginning. So here's what we're going to do together this fall, friends. We're going to remember. We're going to go back to the basics of what our faith teaches us about human flourishing. We're going to learn the rules of the human classroom again, not arbitrary rules, but the deep truths that make authentic community possible. One of the most common refrains I hear from parents is their great desire to raise their kids to be good humans. I can certainly relate to that. And I think we'd all agree it takes more than handing kids a phone and searching how to be human on TikTok. But fortunately, in Christianity, we have a playbook for life because our faith is one of discipleship, of learning by doing, by following in the path of Jesus. These are the basics of faith in Scripture that shape us into good humans, which for us also means being faithful Christians. And if we are being honest, it's not just the kids who need this. We all could use a refresher, a reorientation. Our Bishop Lynette Plambeck and others give us a very basic guide in what she calls the four greats of Christian faith. And they're going to be our curriculum, our structure for the next 8 weeks. They are the great commandment, the great requirement, the great invitation, and the great commission. We will go more deeply into each of these in the coming weeks, but a quick overview to just kind of get them in your mind. The first being the great commandment, which we heard read this morning, to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. As we heard in the reading from Deuteronomy, we should write these words on our heart, put them above our door frames, and cement them in our hearts. The second is the great requirement, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God, from the prophet Micah. You know this? Yes, you know this one. And the third is the great invitation, to receive the Holy Spirit, join a Spirit-filled community, also known as church, right? And to be empowered for God's mission. This comes to us in the teachings of the first two chapters of Acts. And last is the Great Commission, to go into the world to share good news and embody God's love for all people, as proclaimed in Matthew. Now, I would imagine for most of you, you hear these and you're like, all right, I've heard that before, right? I know this. But I think when we frame it together in this way, we get a foundation, a core learning of who we are called to be as followers of Christ. And each of these flow directly from Genesis, rooted in how we are to be in relationship with one another and with God. Each one helps us remember what God had in mind when God made us in the divine image, and each one is both ancient wisdom and prophecy that we need right now. So, my friends, your task this week is to remember that you bear God's image. Wherever you are, you may be the only one mindful that not just you, but everyone you meet carries that same image. And so what does that look like? How does that cause us to act? Well, it means, for starters, seeing every person as beloved. The unhoused neighbor, the elder struggling to get groceries into their car, the LGBTQ plus teen, even those whose politics raise your blood pressure, all are beloved of God. It also means caring for creation as a sacred gift, choosing connection over isolation, love over fear, and practicing resurrection by looking for signs of hope and healing in dark times. And lastly, remembering that being human isn't about perfection. It's about being beloved and letting that belovedness transform how we treat ourselves and others. Just the other day, from my office window that sits near Asbury Avenue, I saw two parents, only a few feet apart, but years apart in story. One was snapping first day pictures of his little boy at the preschool playground before going inside. The other parent was unloading dorm supplies as he dropped off his son at Hamline University. For a brief instant, their worlds converged. The older student noticed the younger, walked over and offered a fist bump. A simple gesture, a wordless blessing. Both parents exchanged knowing smiles. I couldn't hear their words, but the emotions were obvious. Nervousness and hope, the thrill of new beginnings, the ache of releasing someone you love into the unknown. In that instant, generations and journeys collided. Whatever the age, we all enter new seasons with our hearts fluttering, with anticipation, with anxiety, with dreams and doubts. And every parent, every mentor, every person who cares wonders, did I prepare them enough? Will they remember what I taught them? And above all, will they know that they are loved? Friends, this is the heart of our calling. To remember again and again that we are God's beloved, created in God's image, rooted in community, and called to the audacious work of love. And that's my prayer for us this fall at Hamline Church. That by going back to the basics, remembering again that we are made in God's image, called to love fully and belonging to God and one another, that we'll rediscover the joy and purpose that God intended for human life. The world is watching for communities that still know what love looks like, what justice feels like, and what hope sounds like. Let's be those people. Let's go back to the basics and live them fully, because the basics, when practiced, are revolutionary. The foundation is set, class is in session, and God is still saying to all of us, very good, very good. Amen. Thanks be to God.